This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Forever Dog.
Jesus, before we get started, it's a little echoey in the booth today. Is there something going on with the sound equipment or something?
Yeah, there's something here. I don't know. It's one of the lights. It's one of the lights on this thing. It's kind of on the left-hand side. Not all the way to the left. Kind of like three dots to the right. And it's kind of flick. I don't know if it's supposed to flicker. And when I talk, I hear myself talk. I hear it's like an echo in here.
You know, I would think after 5,000 years of engineering and producing this show, you would have a better grasp of the equipment.
Yeah. No, I have a grasp. I have a grasp, except for this this thing. It makes like a sound, like yeah, you know, you hear that like sometimes, not the whole way through.
Okay, so is there any way you can fix it?
No.
Well, great. Thanks. Thanks for the help.
Nearer, my God. Nearer, my... I love that song. That song, as you know, that was the last song the band on the Titanic played before the ship sank. Nearer, my God, to thee. That's why I love that song so much. Hello, everybody. This is Jehovah, host of the Godcast, joined as always by Joan of Arc. Hello, Joan.
Hello, my lord.
What? Do you hear that sound?
You hear that too?
Is that, yeah.
I thought it was my voices again. What is that?
No, it's not your voices again. In the booth, Jesus Christ, my son, my pride and joy, and our producer, has taken up the wrist flute. Again, he is practicing the wrist flute. As you know, he has holes in his wrists and his ankles from previous, you know, certain experiences he had. And he has the holes in wrists and ankles, and he's learned how to blow through them in a way to produce music. And I can hear he's getting pretty good. It sounds like you're getting better at that, Jesus.
No. I try to, you know what they say. If you get lemons, make lemonade. So I blow through... my hands, and people say, "Oh boy, he's good, but he's no Kenny G."
Oh, but you can't judge yourself on that scale. Kenny G never had to overcome having holes in his ankles and wrists, so I think you're doing a bang up job given that.
Yeah, see, the bad thing about the holes in my hands is that when I try to eat M&Ms, they fall right through.
Right. So you probably, you must go for larger candies now, I would guess.
Yeah. It has to be a bigger candy, at least the peanut size.
Well, you sound great. Just hold off until the show's done, and then you can get right back to blowing musical air through your own body. By the way, Joan, if you like his musical stylings on the flute, I have a surprise for you. At the very end of the show, listeners, listen up. At the very end of the show, Jesus is going to serenade us all with his version of Brahms' Lullaby. Yeah, it's very special. I've heard him do this before. It's wonderful. It's the most gentle, relaxing, go-to-sleep music you'll ever hear. So stay tuned for that.
Oh, I can't wait.
I want to get right to a big announcement. COVID-19, it's been ravaging the planet for a year and a half now, and I'm in a mood where I just feel enough is enough. So,
my lord, oh, sorry to interrupt. I have something's been weighing on me. I just have something I need to spew my truth is what I need to do. And so normally you refer to me as your sidekick, and I'm very totally good, fine with that. But I noticed during an interview recently with I think it was RBG, you called me a co-host, and I just it would help me just for my own self-esteem, my self-worth, possible business cards, to know exactly where I stand, in your mind.
And that's what you had to interrupt my big announcement for.
Yes, I've been very nervous about bringing this up, but I had to do it.
The semantic discussion of whether you're co-host or sidekick.
Yes.
Well, if you must know, in my mind, Joan, you're neither co-host nor sidekick so much as second banana. You're second banana. So on your business cards, you can put second banana, capital S, capital
second
B.
Second banana.
Yeah, you're second banana. I'm first banana. I'm top banana.
Right.
And you're second. And there's 7.8 billion other bananas who
are. What does that make Jesus then?
Oh, he's second banana, but in a different banana growth.
So there's a bananas are in a bunch. Is it, would the biggest banana be the top banana? I mean, how do you know top? Like, how does.
Yeah, I'm only going to humor this metaphor of bananas about 10 seconds longer. But yes, there are two different.
I just feel like you should be the banana tree. Like, God should be the banana tree. And then we're all the bananas and maybe in ranking order. But.
And this is the exact moment when I stop indulging the metaphor. I referred to earlier, I said I was going to stop the metaphor. And now I'm stopping it. You have your answer.
Okay.
Joan.
Second
your
banana.
Second banana. You're free to put that on your business
really
cards.
I was really hoping co-host, but I, my lord, I will be happy as second banana.
Just for obvious reasons, don't bring the business cards too close to your legs.
Yeah. Well, it depends what I get them made out of. I was looking at some metallic, some
yes.
that were not flammable is, I guess, the
yes.
goal.
Well, how about make yourself some asbestos business cards? And that'll solve the problem. And then you'll have nice business cards that you won't burn because you're on fire. And
co-host
you can show
looks,
people.
Yeah, co-host looks nice on a card. Second banana is longer. But it'll fit. I'll make it work.
What was I even talking about at the top before you interrupted?
Oh, you're talking about COVID.
Oh, yeah. Screw it.
No. What were you going to say?
The moment was gone. I was going to say I will rid the world of COVID starting right now, this second, immediately.
Yes.
But
you should totally do that. People hate COVID.
No, you messed it up. I am improvisational. I make up things. I change my mind. And there was a moment and the moment is gone. And now the world will suffer from COVID for years and years. Because you had to interrupt me to find out whether you were sidekick or co-host.
I'm sorry.
That's on you, Joan of Arc.
Yeah, I apologize to the world for that. That is definitely, I should have just let you finish what you were saying. But
yeah.
At least, I are you still going to answer one prayer this week?
I suppose.
Prayer of the Week!
Every week I answer one prayer. It's usually one that's left on a review of the Godcast on Apple Podcast. But this week, as last week, I am answering a prayer left for me at my Twitter account, at the Tweet of God. Joan, what is this week's prayer?
Okay, this week's prayer comes to us from Carthaginian Polanski, or at Father McRuder. And he prays, I would like for the hair around my butthole to grow back. Shaving it was a mistake.
All right. Going a little risque with your choice this week, Joan.
It's just hair.
I like that. I could easily do that, of course.
Oh, you're God.
But I'm just not sure if he wasn't right in the first place to shave it, because I think his butt might look better without the hair. Here, let me just use the divine hologram machine to let me and you see this. Here, there it is.
Oh, boy, that is right in my face. Okay, yeah. So that's a before and after, shaved, unshaved.
Yeah.
Look
at it a little closer.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Okay, so let me just set this up for you, Joan. So on the left side, here is the before of the butt with the hair. No. Why? You have to have it close to Billy Joe.
Yeah.
And now on the right side of your face, here's the after of the butt shaved.
Like a baby. Okay. So you.
What do you think?
Very, very large in my face.
Have you been this close to a male backside before?
No. No, it's weird. So, you're saying you prefer hair less. The right, okay, I think I tend to agree. But
yeah.
I don't like, and you created this, so wouldn't you want it to be the way you created it?
But you see on the unshaved one how the hair goes all the way, like, really deep into
it's
the
crazy.
Rectum? Like, it's really deep in there.
Yeah, I can see the inside because this hologram has, like, the internals, too.
Yeah. Well, I want you to have complete information
at
your disposal when you make this judgment.
Yeah, it's a lot of hair, and it is right in the rectum.
And he also put in a lot of work in shaving it. It's not easy to shave your own butthole hair.
No, but it's a lot of maintenance because the stubble, it grows back, and then it's a lot of stubble to deal with, which might be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And then it's like a full-time job maintaining hair.
And then the stubble feels really rough to anyone else who's here. Feel it.
This
little stubble.
This is three-dimensional.
I don't like it. It chafes your skin, right?
Can he feel me doing that? Can he feel me doing that to him?
No. This is a disembodied backside.
Okay,
this is a disembodied
good. Okay,
ass.
Let me get in there then.
Yeah.
No, it's not pleasant. The stubble.
So what's our verdict?
Well,
hair or no hair?
Well, I think it's really how much you like Father Magruder and if you want his wish to come true and make the hair grow back quickly for it. I mean, this is his preference. This is, you created us to have free will and he chose.
Carthaginian Polanski, your wish is my command. I am restoring the hair back to your rectum area. Now, this may or may not be something that your sexual partner, Trojan Kubrick, appreciates when they put their finger up it as part of your sexual foreplay. But I am happy to do it for you, Carthaginian Polanski, because you are a humble servant of mine and I want you to have a happy, happy butthole. By the way, be sure to use Hello Tushy. That's a wonderful way to keep that butthole nice and clean. And that's Prayer of the Week.
Prayer of the Week!
Coming up, 40 days and 40 nights with Noah. I'm kidding. It'll be like 40 minutes, tops.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Over 5,000 years ago, my guest today was the only righteous man on Earth and, along with his family, the only human being to survive the Great Flood. The story of his remarkable ordeal and survival can be found in the new book, The Bible, available in bookstores nationwide. Please welcome my old friend, Noah. How are you, buddy?
Oh, I'm great. I'm doing great. It's so nice to talk to you again. A blast from the past, really.
Yeah, it's been ages.
It feels like ages. Yeah,
yeah.
It has been a long time. But, you know, things seem to be going well with the Earth and all of creation ever since then. I mean, certainly been progressing, expanding, growing ever since, our time together.
It is what it is. I mean, that's literally true. It is what it is, and que sera, sera, and the past is past. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, for you, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, that's Joan of Arc. But you know Joan of Arc? That's Joan. Hello.
Hi.
Oh, hi. Yes.
Yeah.
Hi. You
it's
know what?
It's so nice to, like, finally meet you, because I thought maybe we were related.
Oh, because of the Ark thing, Noah and the Ark and the Joan of Arc.
Right.
Yeah, no, I picked up on that as well. It's funny. Like, we do share that in common.
Okay, enough. Now, let's tell the story here because
really nice
because people
it's nice to meet you too.
So much depends on you, Noah. In so many ways, you are the most important figure in the Bible. Because if your story didn't really happen, then creationism is a myth. And that would be wrong and a terrible shame, a Shonda, if you will.
Well, I mean, okay, so much to unpack there, but yes, you're right. But first of all, yes, creationism, I think the kids call it intelligent design today. Obviously true. I was there. I saw it happen. The animals were all created by you, sustained by me, and they propagated the world since then. That's how it happened. Evolution, shmevolution, I say.
That's well said. No, absolutely. Evolution, shmevolution. Darwin, Schmarwin,
yes.
Stephen Jay Gould, Schmeven Jay Gould, the whole thing. It doesn't make sense.
I don't know why they teach it in schools. It's stupid. You made the stuff. You made all the animals. I saw them. I fed them. I cleaned up their urine and their BMs. And it was an ordeal.
See, your choice of using the word BMs is part of the reason why I chose you, because you, sir, are a good man. You are a clean man. You're a righteous man. Well, I used to walk with you. That's what it says in the Bible. It says Noah was a righteous man who walked with God. Remember those walks we used to take?
I mean, to be honest, most of the time I was walking because I couldn't run. I was a very old man when you came to see me. I was 600 years old when you came to see me. I had sort of been in semi-retirement already, and I was sort of surprised that you reached out when you did.
You were a spry 600. You were 600 going on 400, if I may say so.
I mean, that's flattering, but anyone over 250 really shouldn't have been doing the things that I was doing. I mean, you had me building things and pulling in animals from everywhere and feeding them and maintaining them. And I mean, it was a lot.
Yes, it was a lot. And I knew you could do it. And I knew you could do it because I knew I would help you. And I'm God. And anybody could do it, given that. And so I liked you. You know what it was? I like the beard. The beard, your beard and my beard are virtually identical, with the white, and that nice little, not quite ZZ Top, but like a Z top anyway.
Sure. It's, and I've seen, some people in modern days have like a hipster type beard now. And it's very reminiscent of what sort of we pioneered many, many centuries ago. But yeah, just backing up a second, you said something interesting. You said, I knew you could do it, and I knew you could do it if I helped you. Help? Was there help available to me back then that I was not aware of? Because I
there
pretty
was help.
Much did
there was
I did
help.
Everything my, myself. I mean, I built. I don't want this to be contentious or anything, but I built the thing myself. I did that myself. It was not easy.
But did you?
I would have loved someone to be able to hold the planks for me, like the planks of wood. It's hard to
Didn't
do it.
Did they?
They did not. No, I mean, I had these sawhorses that I had to balance the planks of wood on, and getting everyone to be plumb and correct was extremely difficult without anyone there to hold the other end of the plank for me.
Wasn't there?
Okay. You're wanting me to admit or to realize that you were there the whole time,
Noah,
in my shadow, propping me up. You just weren't there in the workshop with me, though. I was doing it all by myself. All right,
Noah. It may have seemed that way, but I am God, and I work in mysterious ways, particularly when it comes to ancient shipbuilding methods.
Yeah, are your mysterious ways during daylight hours? Because that's when all the work I was doing, and I didn't see you there in the shop. I was clocking in every day at 8 and clocking out at 8 at night, and you were not there.
I was there. If it were not for me, it would have taken you 35 years to build that boat instead of the 25 years it actually did.
You're right. I guess I apologize. Just didn't feel that way in the moment.
I accept your apology, and just because I like you, I'm going to preemptively accept all the apologies you should be offering for everything you might be saying in the next half hour. Because you should always remember that I chose you. I chose you out of all the sinful people in the world along with your family, the sole survivors of the Great Flood.
I don't know. I just don't know if that is the prize you think it is. I mean, yes, thank you for choosing me and sparing my life and the life of my family.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome. My pleasure.
Thank you for bestowing me the honor of becoming the father of all humanity since then. But, you know, the actual event was a bit of a catastrophe for me, just personally. I'm just gonna be honest with you. It was pretty rough. The building aside, once we got on the boat, we had to collect all these animals, and that took a lot of work and painstaking work. At the time I was not an animal person. I have very strong allergies to cat dander. And it was murder on me. It was murder, and it got worse when we were in these close quarters for days and weeks on end.
You're right. I acknowledge the difficulty that you had, particularly in acquiring the animals from North America, South America, and Australia, given your position in the Near East. That was particularly difficult for you.
It was logistically a challenge. Yes, but you know. Trying to look on it on the bright side, my therapist always wants me to just try to look at the positives.
Are you Jungian, by the way, or Freud?
Oh, Freud. I like to keep it old school.
Yeah, okay, nice, me
but,
too.
But, you know, the bright sides were, there were some animals that I liked. Cats, I'm not a fan of, but some of the animals I really took a liking to.
Oh, like such as what?
I really, I fell in love with the dodo bird. You know, they're just so sweet. They have such a sweet-looking head shape. The two dodos that we had on the ship were really, really sweet. And then there was another, there was a woolly mammoth. One of the pair of the woolly mammoth, I named her Bessie. And she just really took a liking to me. And I would cuddle up with her on cold nights. And how are they doing, by the way? How are the mammoths doing?
They're doing well in as much as they are no longer under threat. That's good. Yeah. And the dodo, you said was sweet, and you're right.
Many
visitors to the island of Mauritius in the 16th and 17th centuries agree with your assessment that they were very sweet. Very sweet indeed.
They were. It's a past tense you're saying there.
They're dead. Not only are they dead, but the expression dead as a dodo is a expression meaning something is dead. The dodo is dead. And by the dodo, I mean all dodos.
All dodos are dead.
All woolly mammoths.
All woolly mammoths as well.
If it makes you feel any better, they were both hunted to extinction by mankind.
That does not make me feel any better.
No, I realized saying that it would do the opposite.
I spend a lot of time and energy preserving their lives and making sure they would have a fighting chance in this world.
Well, look at the bright side. You're on my podcast, and we're talking about your incredible experience back in the day. I want to talk about your amazing family. There's eight people in the family who were on the ark with you. They're mentioned in the Bible specifically. There's Noah.
Mm-hmm, that's me.
There are your three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. There's your wife, Nameless, and your son's three wives, Nameless, Nameless, and Nameless.
Yep.
And the eight of you were such a tight unit on that ship. People, that's the unsung story of the Ark journey, was how well the eight of you got along. You had your highs, you had your lows.
You
laughed, you cried, but in the end, there was love. There was real love there, and that's what made it work. That's what made the whole thing work. Isn't that true?
You know what? As with everything, you're right. It was an interesting, fun time for us as a family. I mean, just living in such close quarters, but also, you know, it was a bit of a farce, you know, walking around the ship and whoop, you know, Ham slipped on another doggy do again or there it goes. Oh, I think Nameless has your dinner tonight. And then we got confused as to which Nameless we were talking
about.
Right,
there are four people named Nameless on the ship. That must have been really weird.
It was very strange. Sure. And all the females. Yeah. They had no distinct characteristics at all. They were just sort of there. but it made for some wacky shenanigans. Lots of upstairs, downstairs, comedy. In fact, I've been working on something since then. I've been developing a pilot spec script based on our antics for those 40 days. And it's coming along. I think it's a multicam half hour, but it's
multi.
It's really,
did you say multi?
A multicam, yes, a multicam.
Really?
Is that passé now? I don't keep up. I don't have a subscription to Netflix or anything. So
I multis were popular, I think, back when you were on the arc, maybe.
Oh.
I don't want to tell you how to.
Oh, but that's how I formatted the script and everything in Final Draft. So
Zoom in is actually better. Do you use Zoom in?
I don't.
I write all my teleplays, all my screenplays in Zoom in. It's more instinctive, more intuitive.
I think if I had a representative, an agent, they could guide me with some of this stuff. I've been trying, but no one seems to want to represent me.
That's terrible.
While ago, I tried to publish a memoir. And I got close a couple times. There were some near misses, but all the publishers were sort of they were interested, and then all of a sudden they weren't. And I was wondering if maybe did you have anything to do with that?
It's funny you say that. Yes, 100%.
Well, I mean, I guess you have something to do with everything, but specifically how?
I feel like your story has been told very well, with everything I want in. Included and everything I want left out, excluded, in the book I mentioned at the top of this interview, a book called The Bible, the Old Testament section of it specifically.
I've heard of it.
And
yes.
I kind of don't feel the need to have a rival narrative about the seminal event in human history. And so I did speak to the publishers, and I did ask them to... politely pass. I did ask them to politely pass. That's why you got a lot of thank yous, appreciated efforts, interestings in those letters you got back.
Yes, they were, of course, very polite. I mean, some of them even felt like they were leading me on. Like one of them took me out to a nice lunch and seemed to be wining and dining me for something. And then all of a sudden the calls just stopped coming. And I felt it was an intentional abandonment.
That's just what agents do. That was not an intentional abandonment. I would never do anything to disrespect you. I would only do something to thwart you.
To thwart me?
Yes, but never disrespectfully.
Oh, okay.
Coming up, I say to Noah, there's going to be a floody flooding. Get those children out of the muddy muddy. Children of the me.
The building of the Ark, and something that I miss a great deal, which is the cubit system of measurement. These days, everything is either imperial or metric.
Metric, yeah, I've heard of it.
Back in the days, a cubit was the gold standard of length and weight.
I was a fan.
It was great. The boat was 300 cubits long, 50 cubits in breadth, 30 cubits in height. That's perfect.
Yeah, it did take me a while to figure out quite how that worked. They didn't make any rulers or anything with cubit measurements, but once I figured it out, it's actually a pretty intuitive measuring unit. It's strange that it all divides into 13s, but whatever. But it's your way, and I got used to it.
It's simple. It's 13 spans to a palm. Uh-huh. 13 palms to a hedrach, mm-hmm. and 13 hedrachs to a cubit.
Yep.
It couldn't be more intuitive. Thank you. We are on the same page with that.
It totally works.
And that boat was a beautiful boat. You did. I know it took you a long time. I know you didn't have any experience building large boats or small boats or anything
at all, really. Nor did I have any experience sailing any sort of vessel. Being landlocked as I was, it was a learning experience. I don't know that I got much better at it during the 40 days. We didn't have any destination to speak of, so it's not like I was trying to get somewhere and had to master the art of, you know, bringing in the jib and throwing down the mainsail and all that. So we just kind of floated around aimlessly.
But I remember there was one moment, because I know everything. There was one moment around day 23. It was late at night. It was calm. It was a calm, relatively calm. And you went out to the ship, and just out of instinct, I heard you and I saw you. You went, "Arr!" Remember that?
Yeah.
You did.
I do. I thought I was alone and I was just trying to lighten the mood. And I tried to covered one eye and I tried to sort of say, "Oh, I'm a pirate." You know,
you did that a lot, Noah. Don't lie.
I did that a lot.
You did that a lot. And that was great. That's how you break tension on that kind of cruise.
Yeah.
You know, I'm Noah. Give me thy doubloons. Right. It was yes. Really adorable.
Yeah.
Tell me if this is too personal at all. I will stop. I do respect your boundaries. But I know that when you got on that boat, you and Nameless were not in the best place from a marriage standpoint.
I mean, we don't talk about it a lot. But no, we were going through a pretty rough patch. She didn't understand the years of building. She didn't understand the animal thing. It was very trying on our relationship.
Mission, that voyage brought the two of you together in a way that warmed my heart. I saw the two of you working together, you know, to clean the dung, to clean the urine, to feed the animals. It was amazing, and you were a true team.
To be brutally honest, it was a horrifyingly traumatic experience for both of us. You know, they don't go into it in the Bible or anything, but those first couple days, especially when the rains were coming, you know, we weren't sailing those first couple of days. The waters were just rising, and the screams at night would echo of people drowning all over the world. The animals, the people clawing, trying to get aboard the boat as we floated away. I had to beat them back with broomsticks. My friends and neighbors.
Right, I get you. So how good did that feel to know you were safe? That must have been a great feeling for you. You and the loved ones were all safe and no problem for you guys.
Yeah, that felt good eventually, yes, once the screams faded.
And you recognize, of course, also that unlike you, they were all sinners. They were all doing things like they were gambling. They were going, you know, under the shirt, over the bra without permission, doing all kinds of terrible things that are clearly against, if not the letter, at least the spirit of the Bible that did not yet exist.
Under the shirt, over the bra was specifically called out in the Bible? Is that true?
No, I said the spirit.
Oh, the spirit. Okay.
The spirit.
Because I wasn't aware that was a hard and fast.
The spirit of the Bible is that kissing is permitted, and then over the shirt, and by definition, over the bra, is okay.
It's okay. And that's why they all deserved to perish a slow, horrible drowning death while I watched.
Among other reasons, but certainly that one. I was just disappointed. But you know what? As painful as that flood was for every single person on Earth, it was more painful for me. That flood hurt me more than it hurt them.
That's interesting.
That's true.
I hadn't thought about how you felt in that moment, actually.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't want to kill everybody, but what choice did I have? Not to kill everybody? You see problem.
I mean, no, that feels like a definite option that you could have taken, in my opinion. Who am I, right? But I feel like you could have spared everyone and just had a stern talking to.
Okay, I'll play along. I'll bite Noah. How might that have worked if I didn't kill everybody?
You could have had it rain for maybe 2 days. 2 days of rain. Everyone gets a little muddy, floods everyone's houses. Everyone's like, "Oh, man, my hardwood floor is warped now. I will be a better person now. I won't go to second base anymore because I just put in new flooring. I don't want it to warp again." That's enough. That feels like a good warning shot. You know, two and a half days of rain. But 40 and killing all of humanity seems like a last resort to me.
I'm hearing you. I just don't think that 2 days and two nights of rain gets the point across. I think killing everybody teaches everybody something in a way that not killing everybody doesn't. Do you understand?
No, I don't. It taught me something because I was the only one to learn the lesson. You showed me that everyone was bad and they all perished in a horrible way. Going back to your earlier question, yes, in a sense, it did bring my family closer together. We shared that trauma together and we were there for each other. Me and the Namelesses, you know, really got close.
And then when the whole mission was over and only the eight of you were left on the planet, what did I ask you all to do? Tell everybody what I did.
I don't know if I want to get into that.
Now, come on. Don't be shy. It's a very important part of the story.
It's a little
personal. You all had sex with each other.
Okay. Yes. We all.
You all had sex with each other incestuously to repopulate the planet. Yes. And that's such an important part of the story.
It is.
People don't talk about it. You had sex with all three of your daughters-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
Your three sons had sex with their mother, your wife. It was an incredible orgy of love done for the sake of the whole human race. And it was a beautiful thing.
That did happen. We all had sex with each other at your behest. I watched my sons tear apart their marriages. I watched them turn their back on their spouse and do horrible things with each other and with their mother and with me.
That is great. Yeah. I mean, you have three sons who together with you repopulate the planet. There's nothing but pride there. Nothing but pride. Speaking of pride, ironic, that's a great segue I just made for myself. Because before we got to this point, before we got to the massive incestuous orgy part, we had the ultimate happy ending, the rainbow. Remember the rainbow? Huh?
I do remember the rainbow. That was the only good thing that I think came out of it was seeing those seven colors all lined up. And we knew that everything was going to be all right. You know,
you got a rainbow? I'm sorry to interject. I just, as another one of God's chosen, I would have really liked to see a rainbow.
Oh, well, what did you get after your ordeal that God put you through? What did you get? Because I was given the opportunity to repopulate the planet.
So you got to live.
I created wine. I was able to have dominion over all animals. And I got the rainbow.
I'm sorry. I just want to. How old were you, and you got to live?
Oh yes, of course I got to live. Yes. I was 600 at the time. I got to live for many, many years after that. Yes, of course. Yes.
Why? I was burned at the stake as a teenager, and my reward was being God's sidekick on this podcast. I just feel like that's chosen. You use the word chosen so freely. It's just a chosen to be 600, chosen to die burning on a stake as a teenager.
So your thing was that you died and everyone else got to live. And my thing was that everyone else died and I got to live.
Guys, I hear what you're both saying. Message received, and that you're welcome is the answer. You're welcome. You both deserved it. You're both special people. You both deserved the different honors you received, whether it was being burdened at the stake in my honor or being the only survivor to watch every other human being on the planet die miserably. You're welcome.
Thank you, my lord.
Thanks. Hmm? I guess
I'll let you two carry on.
No, thank you. I mean, it's
good.
I have
one. May I ask Noah one question?
Of course, an arc to an arc.
It's really not up to you. Noah. It's not up to you. It's up to God.
Yes, Joan, my beloved.
Oh, sorry.
My beloved child
asking
and sidekick, Joan. Please ask your question to Mr. Noah.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so I went to war against the English at God's request, and what I remember the most is that it smelled so bad.
The war part?
Like the horses and like the sweat and the men. And so I just like wanted to know if that's what you think about when you think about what you went through for God.
The smell?
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many horrible things that happened to me.
But just like the animals. animal crap everywhere.
Like, well, no, I mean, that was bad. But I mean, we sailed through, you know, floating bloated corpses constantly.
Oh.
And they would just bounce off the hull of the ship, which the sound
disgusting.
Will linger in my memory forever. Forever seared there for eternity. But yeah. You're absolutely right that the smells aboard the Ark were so overpowering that they sort of clouded all the other senses.
Oh.
You know, one of my sons, Ham, was overcome many times, just vomiting constantly.
Okay, wait. It is ironic because I thought that the Jewish people don't even eat ham.
Oh.
Joe, they weren't Jewish yet. There were no Jews yet. He was just the ancestor of the people that would become the Jews.
Oh, I guess it's because we've had so many. I told you that, like,
it's a common misunderstanding. Yeah, no, it's a common misunderstanding. The meat ham is actually named after my son. It's not the other way around. We saved the pigs, and we thought it would be fun to name a meat after one of my sons. Yeah.
Okay.
We named other kinds of meats after my other sons. Japheth is actually the meat of a saber-toothed tiger, which I'm sure you can get at any grocery store today.
Oh. Hmm.
Is there saber-toothed tiger meat? Is that still around for people to eat?
Were you fond of the saber-toothed tigers as well?
Of course, they were one of our favorites. The only cat, the only feline that I really can stand, their dander, actually.
Yes. Yeah. They're doing great. They're alive.
Oh, great.
And well.
That's great.
They're alive and well. I'll tell you who is dead, actually, is the dinosaur. Like every species.
Oh, of
dinosaur.
Boy, that one hurts.
Yeah. I know how hard it was to squeeze them in.
Holy yeah, it was hard. Wow. Just figuring out the logistics of how they would exist on the ship without mauling each other. The T-Rex is. And the Triceratops alone they took up a whole deck just because they needed the space to roam and it was a lot of work to maintain them, and you're saying now that they're all gone as well.
They are all gone just because they all happened to die out at the same time around 4,000 years ago from being hunted by man. So that's what happened to them. You remember that one time? Around day 36, and the two T-Rexes decided to mate in the middle of the day, and the entire ship was like, a situation where, like, if this Ark is rocking, don't come a knocking. Those two T-Rexes just
they punched a hole in the side of the hull, and we had to bail water for several hours. It took us a long because of their intercourse was so violent. They just were destroying the whole ship. They gnash and claw at each other as they penetrate each other. It's very horrifying. It's a violent, violent act. It was pretty horrifying for my family to watch as well. I mean, there's a lot of blood in the lovemaking. For Nameless, not my wife Nameless, Japheth's wife Nameless, she got really into it, actually. And watching that act of copulation sort of inspired her to try new things with all of us after we landed on solid land again. And most of us were not into it, but she was just really, really aggressive sexually. And it was painful, a lot of pain, and also just shame. She would demean us after she had sex with us. Seeing that act just unlocked something in her that hadn't been there before, and she was really into sadism and, you know, no judgment or anything. If you're into that sort of stuff, that's, you know, who am I to judge and cast a stone, right? But no, she was brutal to us. She would enter me from every possible hole and enjoy causing me pain.
Yeah, that's something that's not in the Bible. But I guess we could mention, since you brought it up, is you and your immediate family in repopulating the Earth and your urgency to achieve that task were the first group of people to attempt various forms of intercourse that we now know, and you did not at the time, cannot lead to the creation of a new baby.
Yes, we were just spinning our wheels at that point, just trying to figure out how to pass the time, how to make a baby faster. We thought, oh, you know, if it takes 9 months to do it through the traditional way, what if we go through the ear? Will that speed things up? Because we need to make some humans, you know?
That's a completely rational way of thinking. You didn't know? That's a valid scientific pursuit.
Yeah, we were trying our best with what we had at our disposal. We also, I think you know already, but we tried with the animals as well. We were trying anything. We were just experimenting. And it didn't take, but,
yeah, well, you live and learn. And as you probably have been noticing, there is a slow but steady second flood starting to happen now. And this one is not created by me. It's generated entirely by mankind and their detritus on the planet. And I think it's exciting and a sign of growth for the species that now man can flood itself. Doesn't need big old God anymore.
It's a slow flood. It's a slower flood this time. You know, it seems to be stretching out over decades, if not centuries.
But it's more final. It's more of a final. This one really feels final to me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it does. It does. Hey, I'm not supposed to be doing anything for this one, am I?
No, you're the last person who should be doing it. You have earned your right to what you're doing now. And I should say what you're doing now. Noah, you are currently, you've spent the last 15 years cruising the world on a pleasure boat.
The first time I went sailing, it wasn't really for pleasure. It was, to avoid your wrath. It was a professional trip. It was a work trip. I was not a good sailor. And I didn't really get to enjoy the seas. So in recent years, yes, I've taken up sailing as a bit of a hobby, learning more about it. I look up different sailing techniques on. I go to Bing and, you know, I look up how to sail and stuff. And then there's some videos online and stuff that I'll use to. And then I'll go out and I'll sail for a couple of nights and spend a couple of nights on the boat. It's not a big one, you know. It's just a cubit. But it gets the job done, and it's enough for me, and I always take a few animals just so I have some company out there.
But it's nice to go down to the galley, open the fridge, and see two of every brewski. Am I right? That must be nice for you.
Yep. You know me well. Yeah. Oh, yes.
This guy, I picked the right guy. I picked the right guy to redeem me from having picked all the wrong people up to this right guy. I really did. Just fantastic.
I'm so, I guess the word is jealous that he got to live so long. So
yes, he lived 915 years.
Yeah.
And you lived how many hundreds of years, Joan? 1900 years. That's a long time.
No.
She lived 0.1900 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you lived to be 19 years old.
I went to war for God. And yeah, 0.19.
Wow.
It's not that I'm bitter. It's just that I'm envious.
In those 19 years, did you get to experience love and loss?
No.
And all the things that go with it?
No nameless
marriage,
for me.
Children?
No, nameless.
She was unscarred, Noah. Unmarred by any negative experience like those you just mentioned.
Well, that's not entirely true. I was scarred when that arrow hit me during that first battle in the shoulder area. That is a scar that I do have. And I am permanently aflame, which is like a scar on my soul.
I thought that was just a Zoom thing.
He has me on fire for good,
fire.
Is what he's told me.
It's an eternal flame of pain that will haunt you for the rest of your days.
Okay. Yeah, but all the world building you did sounds. Well, congratulations.
I went through my share of trauma as well, watching everyone
and
I know
please,
and love
please,
die.
Please do not compare your trauma to my trauma.
No, I didn't mean to. I'm not trying to compare trauma.
Guys, you're both horribly scarred by me, okay?
Okay.
There's no need to argue.
Okay.
There's no need to argue over who hurt you more, or, you know, which
one was...
Yeah, exactly.
It's not about the who, it's about the amount.
How much, yeah. The quantity of pain.
Yes, thank you.
I mean,
you.
I think mine is objectively, I had to endure it for longer. But, you know, I'm fine leaving that alone for now.
You're a guest in our studio, so I'm not going to argue, but... I was burned alive. Alive. I mean, alive.
Sure. For a couple minutes? I mean, how long does it take to...
And I screamed, Jesus, as it happened. And now he just let it... Yeah.
Sure. And then it was over. But mine just kept going and going and going.
Noah, I've never heard of Saint Noah, but maybe you've heard of Saint Joan of Arc.
Oh, they made you a saint.
They did. So, yeah.
Well,
pick your battles.
As the father of all in heaven, there is nothing I love more than seeing two of my children fight with each other over who is more loved and who was more afflicted by me. It's the best. It's just the best. This, I haven't felt this good since the First Crusade, honestly. This is just so satisfying.
Well, we are here to do your bidding.
Yeah, we're eager to please. That's our lot in life.
Mm-hmm.
It's good that we're wrapping up because I got to go. I got to go walk the animals. But thank you for both of you for having me. Speaking of world building, you brought that up earlier. There's this really cool show that I'm really into these days called Critical Role. I watch it sometimes on Twitch, and it's really great. It passes the time when I'm doing a project. So
I'm sorry, Noah, I didn't get the name of that show. Could you say that again?
Oh, it's called Critical Role.
Mm-hmm.
Critical Role. Yes.
Critical Role.
Yes.
Well, I'll be sure to have other human beings check that out.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Noah, everybody.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Nice to meet you.
Well, that's our show this week. If you liked it, please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review.
I'm sorry to interrupt, God. I realized something during that interview with Noah.
Yeah?
So if we're all descended from Noah, right?
Right.
Right. Right. So that means that all sex that anybody has ever with anybody else is incest.
Well, yeah, of course.
All sex is incest. I'm glad I've never had sex, and I don't think I ever will.
No, you won't ever, and that's a good thing. And now, as promised, we leave you with Jesus Christ, your Redeemer, regaling you with his beautiful version of Brahms' Lullaby. Good night.
A lullaby! And
Godcast
good night.
Is a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Alex Ramsey, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and David Jabberbaum. Original music by Gabe Lopez. Joan of Arc appears courtesy of Tara Sands. For more original podcasts, visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. For ad-free episodes and exclusive bonus content from this show and others, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcasts.com/plus.
Forever!